starts with video title, Joyce Childers QVC Guest Host Audition Reel.
Hi, I am Joyce Childers, and I'm making this video in order to audition reel for the guest host position at QVC. As you can see, we are in my closet because my forte is closet. Well, organization and closet. And I'm realizing right now that my pantries are all behind... panties are all behind my head, and now I look like a panty addict. Thanks, Joe.
What? I thought it was good.
It's not good, Joe, and now you're in my shot, so let's just do it again. Please just do it again.
Cuts video title. Christy Berkey, QVC guest host audition reel.
Hi, I'm Christy Berkey, and this is my audition reel for guest host for QVC. Right away, I just want to say I do know my friend and neighbor Joyce Childers is auditioning as well. She is an amazing person. But I do think she is... I'm not going to say anything bad. I'll just say that all my friends think... I just said I wasn't going to say anything bad. She is what she is. You can always just Google her, which I think you should, and stuff will come up. I love her. All right, accessories. We are currently in my necklace room, and what I want to show you is... Oh, my God. I just stepped on the dog. He can't be here, Lewis.
I didn't know.
Peanut has to be in his crate. And now that's 1 point for Joyce, because I look like a dick that kicks dogs in the butt. Great. Start over. Cut. Great, Lewis.
Cut to title with Joyce Childers QVC guest host audition reel.
Hi, it's me, Joyce, future QVC host. I want you guys to know that QVC is my number one dream, and every single person that knows me has said that I was born to do this. And there are people out there that are okay with that. Hijacking dreams because I have to get out of here. I can't breathe.
Are you okay?
No, Joe. Please don't come over here. You stress me out. I gotta go. Walk around. Just please do not follow me. Do not touch anything. I am fine. Okay.
Joyce Childers walks out. Cuts video title. Christy Berkey, QVC guest host, audition reel.
Hey guys, it's your gal pal Christy Berkey here to show you how to dress up any work outfit and give it a touch of sparkle and glam with clip-on glamour baubles. Now look how this glistens in the sunlight.
Joyce Childers is peeking through the window glass.
Was that Joyce? Did I just see Joyce in our window?
That was Joyce.
Oh, what is that bitch up to? Anyway, we'll cut all around all of this. Okay, this imitation crystal piece will enliven any...
Joyce Childers throws dirt on Christy Berkey's window and looks at her.
I see you. Get over here.
Childers opens the window.
What?
What are you doing? What are you even doing?
What are you doing? Stealing dreams of friends' nose for me?
That is not good English. You will never make it with that kind of English on QVC.
On QVC. That's what you sound like. Get your own life.
I have it. I have a life. Stop talking about that, because I have it.
Maybe I should take it away. You see what this is in my pocket?
I don't know what that is, Joyce, okay? I have no idea.
Childers lifts her shirt a little. We can see a gun handle out of her pocket.
What do you think that handles to?
Oh, is that your gun? Is that what that is? Lewis, she brought her gun. Surprise, surprise. I guess she's going to kill another person on accident.
Well, if I do it, will you stop stealing?
Joyce, don't be a fool.
Look, this is all going to QVC. This is all going to QVC, Joyce.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. This is my audition tape, and I can have it be whatever I want.
Honey, what are you doing here?
Your wife is going to shoot us through our window.
It's not a real gun. It's from a play I'm directing.
Oh, my God, Joyce. You are such a joke.
Oh, really? Well, you want to know what's a better joke? Your husband is gay, and I know it because he's sleeping with my husband.
Joe and Lewis walk away.
I hear them every night in our baby's room just going, oh, yeah, I want it.
Stop it.
Okay, Christy, are you going to send that to QVC? Because I'm sure they'll love that.
Get out of my house!
Ah!
Cut to QVC video bumper. Cut to Joyce Childers and Christy Berkey hosting the show together.
Oh, well, guys, that hour just flew.
I guess that's just what happens when you guest host QVC with your best friend.
Keep on shopping, you guys.
Cody stole my fucking part.
I did. I am so sorry.
Son of a bitch.
I am so sorry.
Well, it doesn't matter because they're both sleeping together.
Oh. Well, yeah. I hear him in the baby room
Shannon,
all the time.
I had
going,
no idea.
I want it. Well, Cody, you want to take the intro too?
Hey guys, it's Saturday.
No,
it's not.
It's not Saturday, Cody. It's
yeah. This is some fucking podcast about Fridays and happiness and bullshit.
There you go. Friday. And you know what that means. That means it's horse time. Hunter, what
horse
time is it?
Horse time.
Here on Podzilla 1985. It's the legendary Podzilla 1985 group chat. Fuck.
He turned into a chicken.
Group chat.
Oh, yeah, I want it. My name is Shannon Young. And
you
I'm gonna
killed all those.
I'm going to be your host tonight on Podzilla 1985. With me, of course, we have Double H, Hunter Hendricks.
Hunter Hendricks, that's what you sound like.
Cody Sandusky.
It was fine.
And Big T, I'm sorry, the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
Oh, really? Well, you want to know what's a better joke?
And just so everybody knows tonight, I am going to be hosting the show with this accent, so if you don't like it, you can kiss my grits.
Okay, well, I'm going to go.
Hold on, before you do, we're going to put on the all-new David Allen Coe song, I'm a Racist Pig Fucker, and that's coming up soon. So
you never even called him by his name.
Look, as much as I hate the man, I can't help but like that song. I really can't.
I hear Hitler was a fantastic artist.
There you go.
You know? No, I get it, Tanner. I get it, because it's hard for me to listen to songs. The worst one I could think of is what the fuck is their name, Cody? What's their names? Lost Prophets.
Oh, my God. Oh, I know.
Tanner. Yeah. Tanner, you know what
He's
I just
He's not even on Spotify
you know
anymore,
I just heard?
By the way.
You know, you and I have a running bit of when these things happen. When Shannon said that, what I heard was, what's your name, man?
Alexander.
You gotta let me and Tanner have
empathize.
One thing.
Right. Oh, I do empathize with Shannon because We Still Kill the Old Way and To Hell We Ride are fantastic songs for many people first heard on Need for Speed Underground.
Yes.
And then you found out the singer is a wretched
baby
pervert.
Rapist. Don't get raped.
There it is.
Yeah. Rapist backing up. Rapist, you know, making a hit rock song.
He's running, he runs the expensive price store, I heard.
He's a dirty fella.
He's got premium imported European prices.
Premium? I think you mean cremulum.
He's a dirty fella.
My stomach hurts now.
He's got a distinct crotchal smell.
Crotchal smell?
No,
it's a distinct smell in his crotchal region. There it is.
There you go.
Forgive me, I haven't watched the skit. Yeah, all right. I haven't watched the skit in a few months.
So, look, I know on the... If you're new to the Friday show, if you're tuning in for the first time, you picked a bad one to start on. But
hey, go back to last week.
Yeah,
no,
it was fantastic.
They're all bad ones to start on.
They're all terrible.
But
we only entertain ourselves.
On the Friday show, it's very loose. It's very fun. Nothing serious. But tonight, I did want to talk about something serious. I know we don't get political on the show very often, but I have to talk about this. And Hunter, I know you and I talked about this earlier, and we said we were going to discuss it.
Yes.
And Tanner, I'm sorry that you're going to be a part of this, but I need your opinion. How much we absolutely fucking despise the movie Problem Child.
Yes.
Jesus, what a disaster of
a
movie.
And we said this is political because even if you're a Democrat or a Republican, you can agree that Problem Child is worse than human genocide.
And we bring this up because last night, if you didn't listen...
I was about to say, I haven't listened to the show yet. I assume this came up.
No, it didn't. It didn't, because we talked about our favorite comedies, and that show is an abortion. If comedy could get an abortion, that would be it. And I'm talking about back alley with a clothespin. Not even a clothes hanger, it's a clothespin. And you got to reach real deep in there.
I feel so bad for John Ritter, God rest his soul, or deity, whatever, because he was good.
He was fantastic.
That movie was nuts.
I think we came to the agreement last night that John Ritter actually died because he remembered he was in those movies.
It gave him a heart attack.
No.
What'd you say, Tanner?
That's what sparked the heart attack. Yeah. Oh, God.
Somebody showed him that poster, and it was the most terrifying thing he'd ever seen.
Hold on. I need to hear what Tanner's saying. It's like the fifth time he's trying to say it. I got to know.
I was going to say, I don't think I've ever seen this movie. And I looked it up and like, oh, no, I've absolutely seen this movie. I blocked it out.
Oh, yeah. We all did because I think
I'm
going
to hit you with the poster just so you remember that this was the most terrifying thing that you saw at your local video store because no one ever rented it.
Yeah, and we recommend if you guys look it up. Look up the Problem Child poster.
No, this is the picture for the show tonight.
Ugh.
Yeah, and it's just his face. I'm going to help you out.
There's a crop that shit.
So yes. if you've never seen the poster, the child in the movie, here's the premise of the movie, is that there's a kid who's so awful he can't get adopted. John Ritter adopts him, and he is a monster. He looks like Chucky from Child's Play if he became a
Thank
real
you.
Boy.
Yes.
You know, yeah. He yes. looks like he had a Pinocchio-type scenario.
All right, leaving Discord because that's making me uncomfortable.
And he just... he's terrible.
Tanner,
the movie's terrible.
Tanner, I hope you don't plan on going on Facebook anytime soon because this is Shannon's new profile picture.
God.
It's done.
Now I hear him say...
It's, and there's your nice high-def visual.
God, no.
I don't want to do it because I have this nice dramatic picture of me. I'm trying to impress women. All right. Give me a second.
When we All say right. we only entertain ourselves, part of that is Shannon continually entertains me.
Yes.
Me.
You got all these nice pictures of me looking handsome, and then this is now. Oh,
like
Jesus
Christ. His image just keeps getting bigger. Like,
all right,
if you
it's
look
done.
Away, it's going to get closer. Oh, no, I got to go look.
I've done the devil's work.
he has. Can confirm.
Oh, oh God, and of course your cover photo is the
Will there ever be a rainbow?
Yeah. Oh, you guys should see. I sent it to Shannon. I'll have to look it up again, but there's a really nice, like, framed art version of that Mr. Burns book
yes.
cover, and I was like, well, I know what I'm getting you for Christmas. I may have never gotten you a Christmas present, but I'm doing it now.
That's right. You found the one.
You know, they also made, like, 4 sequels to Problem Child.
Yes.
I knew of the first sequel.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Some of which involved, like, there was a new kid.
Yeah.
Which
it couldn't have been any worse, honestly.
No. I was going to say, I would like to say bad things about that, but at that point, the damage was already done.
Also, I think this is the movie where Amy Yesbeck and John Ritter met. So, not everything was bad from it, because he later went on to marry her, and she was really good in Robin Hood Men in Tights. So,
man,
there's something.
Today I learned that they were married. I didn't know that.
Yeah, neither did I.
What
yeah.
do you know?
She was
John Ritter. All right, so weirdly, John Ritter was a guy who like completely fell off my radar. As a kid, I knew who he was, but I didn't know him by name because I was too young to care about that kind of thing. And then years later, I just kind of became aware suddenly again of John Ritter. And then literally like 6 months later, he died.
He passed.
Oh, so you were yeah, you became like, Skynet. Okay. You became self-aware.
Yes, very much
yeah.
so.
I only know John Ritter from Three's Company and Problem Child, and there was a horror movie.
Oh, I thought you were going to say
I never
this,
watched
the
it.
Sitcom.
Mm-mm.
Okay, no. So the sitcom I never watched.
I love
either,
the sitcom,
but then I did see the episode where, like, after he died, and that was heartbreaking because
yeah.
it
yeah.
was they basically dropped character without having to drop character just to talk about him, and I'm like, this is
yep.
horrifying, man. Terrible.
It's 8 simple rules for dating my teenage daughter, or just 8 simple rules when he passed.
Yeah, because I said, didn't they changed it to a different title?
Yeah, they basically just abbreviated it, which was probably inevitable anyway, because it's such a damn mouthful, but especially, I'm sure, the latter part doesn't apply as much for a mom characters as it does the stereotypical dad.
I forgot he was in Tales from the Crypt. He was in the werewolf episode, I think.
Also,
the
eponymous daughter from the show, Kaylee Cuoco.
Yes,
I was about to say
from Big Bang Theory.
Yeah. He was also in Redacted McBeal.
That took me just a little bit of a second. I latched onto that immediately.
Yeah, I wanted to see who would pick that up as quickly as
well,
possible.
Well, unfortunately, Redacted has kind of stuck to another person in my head still.
We're way past that. Yeah. We're moving past that. As Jesse
he was in
saying.
It. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh, yeah. He was he was the fat kid when he was little, and then he grew up to be, what's his name, Ben?
Ben, yeah.
Yeah.
He has one of my favorite parts of the movie when he kisses the girl and then he pulls back and it's Tim Curry and he says, "Kiss me, fat boy."
Shannon, when you say the phrase Redacted McBeal, that reminds me of David Spade talking Hollywood when he would use the puppet to say, "Maybe she should eat a redacted McMeal."
Guys, I'd like to shift gears from true horror like Problem Child into I actually want to talk about It for a second because the old movie is terrible. Like, it's only good for one thing.
Minute.
No, it's only good for one thing, and it's Tim Curry's performance. Let's be honest.
Yes.
Even though it had
and
some...
That makes it worth watching.
It had some fantastic actors in it. It had Harry Anderson was in it.
Right.
John Ritter and other people, I'm sure.
Remind me when you're done talking about it to talk about Harry Anderson for a little bit. I won't derail this, but we'll come back.
Absolutely. Well, just I've you know, the argument is always which one's better, the new It or the old It. It's the new It.
It's the new one. Yeah.
By far. Except
both of them.
Part two was goddamn okay. Like,
it was just too long.
It was
long.
Good. It wasn't good.
It was too long
first.
For its own
it
good.
That.
That's
yeah.
the problem.
Yeah.
By the time you put both of those movies together, and I mean, to be fair, the original is, I think, at least 18 hours long.
Yeah.
But
no, it's still going on, actually. It's like it's the Inuyasha of horror films. Yeah.
Yeah, Tim Curry is
3 hours, 12 minutes, apparently.
On the original?
IMDb. Yeah.
Man.
So, I think this was a miniseries.
I was
going to say,
special,
Shannon,
right?
Remind me, because it never made it to theaters, right? It was never released in theaters as a
no,
film.
No, what, an ABC or something?
It was ABC or NBC, one of the two, yeah.
ABC. Wow, that's extra weird about that.
I'm trying to find out, because if it was on the same network as TGIF.
I was going to say, I say that, but also ABC aired the miniseries version of The Shining, which was the worst thing to ever happen in that story. So,
yeah, I don't know why they felt the need to redo that. And I heard a lot of people give Dr. Sleep some shit. I thought Dr. Sleep was great.
I didn't love Dr. Sleep. I forgot. I think we talked about this in the group chat before I had come back to the show. I didn't love Dr. Sleep, but it was nowhere near as bad as the miniseries version of The Shining. I mean, it just wasn't.
Yeah, which was just god awful. I had Steven Weber, which was weird.
Is that the dude from Wings?
Yeah, that was the brother from Wings.
There we go. Yeah.
I feel bad for anybody that had to. It's like trying to replace Tim Curry as Pennywise. Trying to replace Jack Nicholson as Jack Torrance is impossible. And it's like, it's not even how they wrote Jack Torrance in the book. Jack Nicholson made it his own.
Yeah.
And at that point, you're not competing with the book anymore. Once someone takes something and makes it so iconic, it doesn't matter how that was originally written. It's their character now. So that's Jack Nicholson's character. His performance is the standard. It's like when people try to cover Hurt by Johnny. They try to cover Hurt by Johnny Cash. No.
Johnny Cat, right. Not quite.
Yeah, exactly.
But you're right. That's the better version. I mean, even Trent Reznor said, this is the better version of the song.
Yeah.
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 You were talking about Jack Nicholson and The Shining. I was recently asked what my favorite, so the exact question was favorite horror character, film, TV, book, myth, game. And this might have been a little bit on the fly, but so first of all, my initial answer was that's too vague a question. That's way too much for me to get into. If you're talking about a horror hero of some kind, I legitimately think I would go with Jill Valentine from the Resident Evil series. I think that's a fair answer. But if you're talking about just, the way I defined it was villain or series/medium-defining character, it's Nicholson's version of Jack Torrance in The Shining. I was just going to say, there's just so much happening there, and it's a descent. He doesn't start evil, but he's clearly not good from the beginning. Something is wrong.
Yeah.
And then it's just that slow burn to where things get horrible.
Two things. One, I remember Kubrick not liking Nicholson's performance as Jack Torrance because he thought he was too maniacal, even from the beginning. Because, he wasn't crazy to begin with, but he was a dick through the entire movie. And you could see, even in the early parts of the film, he had a maniacal look. But I think that's just how Jack Nicholson looks. Right. You can't blame him for looking like Jack Nicholson when you cast Jack Nicholson.
Especially when it made him Jack Nicholson money.
Right, right. I really liked the appearance by Jack Nicholson. Well, it wasn't Jack Nicholson. The Jack Torrance appearance in Dr. Sleep. There's actually an extended scene. I don't know if you've seen it.
I haven't.
Where they talk longer, and it's actually much better than the film scene. I don't know why they didn't go with it.
Yeah.
Because you get more of that bartender, his slowly turning into Jack Torrance, because he tries to play it off at first. But as the conversation goes on, he gets more and more Jack Nicholson mannerisms.
Yeah.
Also, did you know who played Jack Torrance in the film was the kid from E.T.? I forget his name. He's in Haunting of Hill House. He does a lot of stuff with that group. Henry Thomas?
I think so. I was going to say, it's definitely Henry. I remember that part because he has a very like weirdly milquetoast kind of name.
Yeah, Henry Thomas. But I thought that was great. If you haven't seen that extended scene, I'll find it. I'll link it to you so you can watch it.
Yes, please. Because again, I didn't hate that movie. I didn't love it either. By the end of it, I honestly thought it was okay and it had some bright points. I really went into it pretty excited because Asa really liked it, which is weird because Asa is also on the spectrum of our friends who were not super into horror type stuff.
Right.
And Sarah had just read the book. Now we've got it, and I haven't gotten around to it yet because I honestly have not read The Shining since high school, and I want to reread them both. So my plan is to get through the book I'm reading right now, which is, quick plug for this, Jeffrey Toobin, my absolute favorite nonfiction author. I just recently found out because he writes a lot of political, real life stuff. He wrote The Run of His Life about the O.J. Simpson story, Vast Conspiracy about the Clinton scandal. His most recent book I just nabbed on Amazon is called True Crimes and Misdemeanors, The Investigation of Donald Trump. And it is all about the Mueller investigation, and I have not gotten to start it yet, but this weekend, your boy is going to go hard. So anyway, I've gone off on too many tangents now, and I forgot how I got to that point.
I'll reel it back in real quick. Go ahead, Tanner.
Well, real quick. So you're...
Oh, I'm going to reread. I finish that, I'm going to read The Shining and Dr. Sleep. That's my plan. So... that's what it was.
But your choice for Jill Valentine being the...
No, hold on. Because that's actually where I'm going with it next. Give me a second.
Because I have a different choice.
I do too. That was my second point I was going to get to after I got the Jack Torrance thing out of the way.
Okay, you do that.
So we'll get to... I'm actually heading there, but I wanted to say, in relation to Dr. Sleep, I thought it was a good movie for the first 30, 40 minutes. The villains weren't really well defined at first. There's a scene in the film that everyone talks about as one of the most dramatic horror kills of all time. I did not agree with that. I thought it was weak.
What you're talking about.
Yeah, because Asa was talking about it like he couldn't watch it. Like, it was disturbing. And it is disturbing, but I watch so much horror that it takes a lot to disturb me at this point.
Yeah.
So it didn't do anything for me. But what did get me, and I told Asa this too, was once you get to the end of the film where they go back to the Overlook, then it just became magic to me because they treated the Overlook Hotel like he was the biggest monster in the movie.
Yes.
And they did such a good job with portraying the Overlook as the big villain. Really liked that.
And I know it was a weird choice for this particular film, but just quick tangent on that. Good couple of years for the Overlook Hotel, especially with that kind of strange but well-done cameo in Ready Player One.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a super weird scene that, as I recall, did not exist in the book. But it was done pretty well, all things considered. And it was especially creepy that they made it all work. So, yeah, like I said, good times for the Overlook.
Well, just like in the Dr. Sleep book, you know, in the original Shining, Jack Torrance was kind of a more sympathetic character. And he actually saves his son, I believe, in the Dr. Sleep book. But they obviously couldn't do that this time because they've already established that Jack Torrance was a monster.
Right.
So... The way that they did Jack Torrance in Dr. Sleep, I thought was really good. It was actually probably my favorite part of the movie, other than the big reveal at the end where they go back to the Overlook, and that was really cool. I think if the villain had been better defined, I don't know, that was my big problem with it. Anyway, this is not the Dr. Sleep hour. In talking about the best horror hero, because I actually wanted to talk about that too, Tanner, who do you have as your favorite horror hero?
See, man...
I want to quickly clarify, not best, favorite.
Okay.
Because
I would not necessarily say that Jill is the best, but I think she's probably my favorite, especially with the remake.
Okay. So, the low-hanging fruit, I feel, would be Tommy Jarvis, just because that's what everybody would expect me to pick.
I mean, from Friday the 13th especially, yeah.
But honestly, I got to go with Laurie Strode. In every timeline iteration of her ever, she is one of my favorite heroine characters from a horror film or horror series, I should say.
And I love that they fixed her in the newer ones and skipped out all
the bullshit
that they put her through.
Look, I had no issue with them being siblings. Now, the shit they got into in later years, I got tired of.
Yeah. And my only regret is that they don't end the Halloween franchise with the last one that came out. That was the end. Why you have to stretch it out for two more movies, I don't know. Like, he's not Jason Voorhees. He is not a supernatural villain. How are you going to explain to me how he got out of that basement that was burning with no escape? I swear to God.
Shannon, before you give your answer, let me guess. Okay? When we get there.
Okay.
As a fireman, I can say I've seen instances where that happens, where somebody's in a lower level room. The fire gets blocked off from that room and are actually saved or resuscitated. So this is a thing where this isn't a supernatural monster. This is a fire department showing up, finding a body that's still savable in a fire. They're going to try to save him. They're not going to know he's evil incarnate.
Okay, but how long it would take them to get there versus how long he's been down there in the fire? I mean, I get it. They'll explain it as best they can. And I'll accept it
because
it's a horror film.
And make it not supernatural, and I'll be perfectly fine with it.
We'll see. We'll see how they explain it. Because if you remember the first Halloween, motherfucker got shot multiple times by Loomis, and he still lived, so why not?
Well, it's because of the second movie, they started going to the supernatural element of it. The Sam Haim and all that.
Also, as a side note, I liked Halloween 3, and I don't care what anyone says. Middle fingers.
You know,
Halloween
3,
I think we've agreed on the show, is a good movie. It's just not a good Halloween movie.
Well, that's
no. It should just be called Season of the Witch. That's
yeah.
It.
Well, as you know, Tanner, I know, and I'm assuming Hunter and Cody probably knows, the Halloween series was never meant to just be about Michael Myers. It was
right.
An anthology.
It was supposed to be an anthology.
Right. Yeah. So once
it was American Horror Story before American Horror Story.
Right. When Season of the Witch, when it did so poorly, they were like, okay, let's bring back Michael Myers. Let's bring him back, because they got this guy Freddy Krueger. They got Jason Voorhees. I think we can make something out of this Michael Myers fellow. Hunter, who do you think my horror hero is? And I would bet dollars to donuts you're going to get it right.
Oh, see, now I feel bad. I might get it wrong, but I'm going to guess RJ McCready.
You are actually wrong.
Well,
because
who is
I didn't think of it. Oh, I mean,
see, I
on,
thought of Kurt Russell from The Thing. So
would it be obvious who the best horror hero of all time is? Cody, jump in here because I know you know who it is. There's only one right answer.
Me.
Okay.
Wait. I know. I think I know it now. Although okay. Off the top of my head, for whatever reason, I can't think of his name. It's Schwarzenegger and Predator.
No, that's Dutch, but it's not him either. Tanner, I know you don't know that one.
I don't know why Tanner land on Dutch.
Tanner, do you have a guess?
I need to know what medium it's on.
Film.
Is it Ray Stantz?
No, I'm actually a little shocked that no one said this yet. And this isn't a joke. Like, I'm not going to give you a funny answer like, oh, it's Problem Child.
yeah, I'm thinking here.
All right, I'm gonna give you one more
He's
guess.
No one's
I'm gonna
hero.
Say it. I'm gonna say it.
Fuck it. Go ahead.
It's Ash from The Evil Dead.
Oh wow, yeah.
You know what's weird is Ash kind of like just kind of popped in and out of my head earlier, and I think like Tanner said, like I just instinctively went, well, somebody's gonna say that somewhere along the way, and then I completely
well, see,
forgot no one had.
When I was gonna make my decision earlier on who my favorite hero was, I was gonna say Ash, but I'm like no. I mean, I like all the movies. I like the TV show.
And that's another thing, too.
I think Laurie's still a better character.
Well, the other thing, too, is, Shannon, you are, and you're not going to disagree with this. You might be offended, but you're not going to disagree. You are one of those people who does not like to go with the status quo. You don't go with the obvious answer. So no part of me thought that you would go with Ash, because Ash basically is everyone's favorite horror hero.
It's one of those few times because, yeah, you're right. If you look at my history, I generally go with usually the second tier. So, like, Mortal Kombat, my favorite character was Johnny Cage. Street Fighter, my favorite character is Ken. Take the popular guy and then look at the guy next to him. That's usually who I pick.
Yep.
But in this particular case, I think Ash just top to bottom is the strongest candidate for best horror hero. I mean, his story is really good. His movies are really good. And Bruce Campbell brings a personality to Ash that has never been seen in any other horror medium, as far as I know. The closest you can get to Ash in anything is basically Duke Nukem. And even Duke Nukem doesn't do Ash as well as Ash. I mean, Ash Williams is the most iconic horror character of all time.
Especially because he's one of, somebody's going to prove me wrong when I say this, but I feel like I'm on something here. I've connected the dots.
okay.
I feel like Ash is the only... he's really the only horror hero around whom the series is built. That whole series lives and dies by Ash Williams. All other horror series are built around the villains. Jason, Michael.
Yeah. I mean, you're right.
Yeah, pretty much.
See, yeah, I said that on Pins and Needles, like, here comes just the random punches of wrong.
No, because most horror films are based on the idea that you can take the central villain character, give him a whole new group of people to kill, and then that's the film, is right. How they deal with it.
Right.
The closest I can think of is probably Halloween, because of Laurie, because it really being her story too. But then they made so many sequels where she wasn't in it, and they made the story all convoluted. But with Ash and the Evil Dead, and even Ash versus the Evil Dead, it's the same character, same, you know, plot, same character isms. I mean, it's Bruce Campbell as Ash,
yeah.
And they never change it. The only changed it was in the remake.
Yeah. I was gonna say the only time they tried to was in, and honestly, that was really good too. But that
it was a good
film. Not going anywhere.
Wait a
minute.
He was in it.
He was in it technically, yes.
Yes.
But in the most bullshit way possible.
We all really stopped, like, we don't want to talk about that.
What's really sad is that they were going to make another Evil Dead film where they were going to tie Ash to that series, and then they never got a chance to.
Oh, buddy. You don't know this?
Are you talking about the comics?
No, they're actually, I mean, no, just, they're, but the, like, the franchise isn't dead. They're making another movie.
I, you know, I heard it, but I'll believe it when I see it. And I really, I mean, really want to believe
it. He's talked about it himself. Bruce Campbell has.
Bruce Campbell is, by the way, you know, a lot of people talk about their favorite actors. Bruce Campbell may be my favorite actor of all time because the things, and it's, I don't think he's the best actor of all time, but just the characters he has brought to life are some of my absolute favorite characters. Ash Williams, Briscoe County Jr., of even the, did you ever watch that show Jack of All Trades?
No, no, but I
because
did watch.
Nobody watched the show Jack
what was,
of All Trades.
What was the, he was on a USA series too, Burn Notice. He
Burn
was good
Notice.
At
yeah,
that.
Burn Notice.
Yeah. Yep.
He was really
he's fantastic.
Good
at Burn Notice. And he's just so funny. Like, he's one of those guys that, like, is legitimately charming and funny. I wish
he's
I
also
could be
unproblematic because I don't think I've ever heard any, like, controversy around Bruce Campbell that he was involved. And that's, I know that's, like, a goofy thing in, to some degree, I guess, to hang your hat
that's
on.
A big, that's a big
but
thing.
But it is kind of
Hollywood,
a
goofy
thing. Yes. Yeah.
100%.
Yep.
I think another person that's like that is Robert Englund.
Well, yeah. Oh, God. Robert Englund is another one of those. I mean, if you had a Mount Rushmore of horror. It would definitely be Robert Englund, Bruce Campbell. And, you know, I, if you just go by the character, you could easily put Michael Myers and Jason Voorhees on there. But I think...
No, you got to pick the specific actors because each actor brought something different.
Right. And
if you got to put a Jason up there, you put Kane Hodder.
Yeah, and with Michael Myers, I don't think you could put anybody because there's literally nobody recognizable from that role. You might as well put...
The original.
You might as well put William Shatner up there because that's the mask that they based his look on.
Fair. No, but like just the original person that played Michael Myers, I think you would have to put him if you had to pick Michael because, I mean, he was so good at the character just in his mannerisms and everything that they brought him back to do these remakes.
Mannerisms.
But Bruce Campbell was so good, by the way, when you talk about the horror villains, Bruce Campbell was so good that the only villain that could match him was Bruce Campbell in the Army of Darkness.
Sorry, Tanner, I thought too hard about mannerisms and I had an aneurysm.
You mean more like aneurysm?
More like cremulum. Cody, can
right,
you hear me?
I'm not an English teacher.
Well, that
neither am I, Tanner. Sure.
Cody, what about you? Do you have a favorite horror hero?
I only said that.
For fuck's sake.
I know, Cody, you're not a fan of horror, but do you have a horror?
No, and that's why I've been sitting idly by just scrolling through ranker lists during this conversation because I have zero to contribute.
Cody, did you do the homework?
I am the most useless person. Huh?
Did you do the homework?
I have now.
Cody.
I didn't get to listen to last night's podcast yet, so I had to go and make sure I had the movies.
For the record, I have something for us to do when this conversation dies down, so we're good.
Yeah, so we'll end it up here in a second because we're already at 30 minutes. I didn't think we'd talk about horror for 30 minutes. I love it. Cody,
well, real quick before we move off of that topic.
I wasn't coming to move off of it yet.
I have. Well, I wanted to bring something to the table for October.
Okay.
Okay, so since we've all been able to get together online through Discord or, you know, I think it'd be kind of cool if we all pick one horror film a week to watch.
Okay.
Everybody watches it, and then we come in and on Thursday or Friday, and we just sit and discuss
it. Cody's out.
I'm about to say, yeah, y'all can do that on Thursday.
Hang on, don't do it on Thursday. You're going to leave me out, man. Oh.
I want to say this, because you might be listening to this going like, okay, Cody, stop exaggerating. It's not that bad. No, I've been there. I've tried to show Cody scary videos before. He will not watch them. This is a real
phobia. Same way. Dalton's the same way.
I was
and Asa to a lesser degree, I feel like, but also...
The only difference
I know for sure I've told Shannon the story, because it's one of my favorite stories to tell about my childhood.
Tell it on the air.
But no. I don't know if it conveys very well without, like, seeing facial expressions or whatnot.
Well, okay, without seeing too much horror, do you have a horror film in particular that scared you a lot? Like, is there anything horror-related that really scared you?
Cody, the question he's asking is, who hurt you?
Yeah.
My brother. I can tell you who hurt me.
Your brother.
My brother's 11 years older, and he is a dick. Or at least he was when I was a child.
He showed you Problem Child and just scared the hell out of you?
No. He came into a... he was at the end of a hallway in a glow-in-the-dark, like, Grim Reaper mask and a butcher knife I didn't know was plastic while I was walking down to go to the bathroom.
Jeez.
Wait, how old were you?
I would have been 4, and he would have been 15.
Oh, that's cold as ice.
Yeah, that is.
I can't say much, though. Like, I was like 4 and 5 watching Jason Goes to Hell.
No. To show you how jumpy I was as a kid, and this is, it's going to tie into so many things. You guys are going to laugh for a minute. As I'm sure many of you have played the NES Ghostbusters game.
Unfortunately.
As a kid, like coming down the hallway of my grandparents' house, my brother had the game, he turned it on, and the TV was up a little bit louder than it should have been. When you hit start and it yells the very scared the shit out of me as a child.
That's not funny, I'm sorry.
It's okay. It's ridiculous in hindsight. I fully admit that I am an incredibly jumpy individual. Like, there's no coming back from it. I don't think there's any level of counseling or therapy that could bring me back from the precipice. If you're talking about horror movies that have scared me, seeing the first Halloween did, for sure. I would have seen that when I was a preteen, and that was like, Dad was watching it one night, I came in the room, and that was a mistake. Because my dad didn't give a shit. He's like, he's here, he can probably hand it up. Nope, I did not. I walked away. And then the first transformation in an American Werewolf in London.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well, that's fair. Yeah. I mean, that terrified everybody, even if you like that stuff. That's
right.
And it still holds up.
Intense.
It's still and the that's best, the thing. It holds up very well because those are very incredible practical effects.
I had kind of forgotten about it until you just unlocked like a core memory on me over here. But until we were talking about this, I had forgotten when I was really little, I didn't like horror stuff either. I was an only child. And I had, like, you know, my own bedroom, but in the weird part of the house. So that kind of sucked. And Child's Play messed me up as a kid for a long time. Because I had only child, meaning I had too many toys. Something was going to come to life. Like, the odds were against me, basically.
Yeah.
It was a matter of when, not if.
Yes. This was before Toy Story, so.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no, legitimately, because Toy Story came out. When did the first one come out? 94, 95, something like
95,
that?
95, 96.
Yeah, yes. So, I mean, it took until I was, like, 10 when, you know, to get to like, if the toys come to life, things will be fine.
They'll just play with me. They'll have adventures.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Unless you're Sid. And you're like hodgepodging toys together.
From that point on, I was good. We could do that, Tanner, but it'll have to be me, you, Shannon, and Jesse. So we could do it Thursday,
a month off the Friday show.
To alter the Thursday. Or Lindsay, yeah. Well, I'm thinking of the group chat. I was thinking of that contingent of people. Yeah. But yeah, Lindsay could do it too. Basically, we just have to talk Jesse into doing Friday, and we could just turn Friday into that.
I still remember the first horror movie that messed me up, because I was also young, Cody, and impressionable. And surprisingly, there were two in particular, because my dad would watch horror films, and I would walk in and see them, and I would watch them a little bit, and then I would leave because they made me uncomfortable. I was a little kid. And it was actually Evil Dead 2, because I still remember the part where the monster's neck grows really long. And that freaked the shit out of me. And the movie The Gate. I don't know if you've ever seen The Gate, but the little tiny clay dudes. That freaked me out bad when I was a kid. Claymation? Like, can we talk about Claymation? Like, what's up with it?
Yeah, like, what's up with it?
Yeah, Claymation scares the hell out of me. I don't care what it is. Claymation. Desk. Claymation makes me uncomfortable. I'll hide under that desk. There's not a single thing that's been made in claymation that doesn't freak me out. Lindsay likes to watch every Christmas, and I hope you're listening. You bitch. You fucking... Every Christmas, she likes to watch this claymation Christmas special with these little dinosaurs and shit dancing around, and it freaks me out. I don't like watching it. Let's watch Emmett Otter. Much better.
I
get where you're coming from, though, because I think I've told you this before. It's not claymation that bothers me. It's like 70s puppetry. This is why I don't like stuff like The Neverending Story, The Labyrinth. I'm not into it, man.
You're not a fan of Jim Henson.
That's the thing. If it was not Yoda or Sesame Street or just the Muppets in general, that stuff is fine. Anytime it veers away from those three little parts of the Venn diagram, I'm out. I want nothing to do with it.
Yeah, I went back and watched The Neverending Story for the first time in a long time yesterday, and I'm sitting there watching. I'm like... I have no idea how I was able to watch this as a kid and not be terrified.
I mean, I've said before, the movie already irritates me because it's a liar before I even turn it on.
Hang up on this turkey.
Shannon, let's go on to the next topic.
I'm going to put something in the group chat real quick because I think I've sent this before. Lindsay showed this to me, and it's called, it's from The Adventures of Mark Twain. It was a claymation special that they did where I don't think they ever showed it again after they showed it originally.
If it's anything like I'm thinking it could be, I can understand why.
I can't wait to see this.
There is a scene from it where they meet the mysterious stranger. This is that scene.
Oh, yeah. I remember this.
Disturbing.
What in the fuck?
So basically they meet Satan. but yeah. He's this charming fellow in a mask, and I'm not going to spoil it. Watch it. Tanner, do me a favor. Go post that on the Podzilla page right now and say, for tonight's show, we're talking about this. Everyone needs to watch it. It's truly disturbing, and it's part of the reason I hate claymation so much. Anyway, yeah,
I distinctly remember this. I think you and I talked about this in the same vein, the same conversation where we were talking about the episode of The Real Ghostbusters with the boogeyman. Remember you. Yeah.
Iconic scene. Mm. Why they never made him a movie villain, I don't know. I've always wanted him to. I mean, I get he was
him or Sam Hain.
But
yeah, Sam Hain. That's what I'm thinking.
Let's not talk about Sam Hain. We just got off of Halloween. I need to leave it alone.
What the hell is this?
It's creepy.
I'm just skimming through it just to kind of get a vibe. What the fuck?
What, Cody? Also, I thought it was good.
This is the boogeyman from the show.
Yeah.
Right.
And here is art someone did of the boogeyman that I figure put that in a new fucking film.
Okay. Yeah, I remember you sending this one. Yeah. Yeah, that, let that come out of the gate. That'll fuck you up.
And get that same voice that, I remember you.
The one that sends Egon into a catatonic state. Yeah.
No. No. Yes. Not again.
I'm terrified beyond the capacity for rational thought.
Egon bye-bye.
That's right.
My idea for Ghostbusters 3, by the way, the quick version, is that it's after Egon, and it was, again, Egon passes away, which it was him and Ray were the only Ghostbusters left working on things because Peter had gone on and done his life, Winston had gone and done his life, and when he passed away, Ray falls into a depression because, you know, they hunt ghosts, but yet his friend died and he hasn't seen any sign of him. Meanwhile, you have Peter's kid, who is now grown up, and his kid, they're basically, it's the boogeyman. So he comes and kidnaps the kid, they have to go to that other realm, and it's new Ghostbusters and old Ghostbusters, long story. I told this idea to Lindsay on a car trip to Pennsylvania, I laid it all out for her. She had tears in her eyes by the end of it, because she loved it so much. But they didn't go with that, instead they went with Paul Rudd. Probably because I never told them. I probably should have told them.
I mean, that's part of it. Well, wasn't the original sent them an email. Three... Yeah, I mean, for sure. Ghostbusters@sony.com. I'm sure they would have totally got it, just like anything that comes to PZ85. Well, wasn't the original three supposed to be the Ghostbusters going to hell, basically?
Yes. Yeah, okay, so can we briefly discuss the fact that in the like 80s and 90s, everybody's third movie was going to hell. Bill and Ted, or not necessarily third movie, but sequel. Bill and Ted were supposed to go to hell, and then they did. The Ghostbusters were supposed to do so. There was talk of a Beetlejuice sequel, and he was going to Hawaii, and that's basically hell. So...
Shots fired at her Hawaii fans.
Hey, fuck them. You bunch of coconut-eating rebel browsers.
No,
browsers.
No, we can't do anything that refers to Jimmy Snuka.
No.
All right, that murderer?
I'm gonna save the end of this show. This is something I shared on my Facebook a while back ago. I never do this very often. Never do this very often. I don't do
that
this.
English doesn't work.
I don't do this. Hey, that's what you sound like.
Name of your sex tape. I don't do this very often.
I never do this. Don't say it. But occasionally, you get that problem child out of here.
That's worse than the others. I'd rather watch the Mark Twain.
I was bored. We were rewatching the X-Files, and I was like, I don't know. I'll mess around with this. So we can just speed through these. This is where the horror character thing came from. It's number 29 on this list. Basically, you post this list, somebody hits you with a number, and you answer the number question, or the question that corresponds to the number that they hit you with. It's not great entirely. As a matter of fact, several of them I was asked, I was like, I don't know. Pick another one. But you know, we can,
you know,
probably because they misspelled lightsaber.
It's British. Reread it. Favorite is spelled with a U everywhere.
Yep.
You want to?
Do you want to randomize? Do you want to randomize who gets what number?
No, we're just gonna go through all of them.
I thought we would all answer all of them.
What about those what about 90s TV?
I sat here and got all these 90 comedies.
Oh man, y'all actually made the list.
Well, let's just...
Well, I didn't make a list. I meant to ask, was it TV shows or movies you guys talked about last night?
We did movies last night.
Although,
and Hunter and I
we also... Yeah, go ahead. Tell them.
I was going to say, we talked about doing TV shows tonight. Tanner, you got TV shows or movies?
I got movies.
All right, well, let's say what. You and Cody just list your movies real quick, and then we'll do this. And then next week, get it ready right now. Next week, we're planning one ahead of time. Favorite 90s comedy TV series. That's next week.
Okay, that works. I can do movies, too. I gave you a list of movies last night. I can do them quick.
Spoiler alert. Martin is on the list.
Damn, Shanae. What's the best joke from Martin, though?
I mean,
you ain't got no job, Tommy. or brother man, what you doing? making a sandwich. All right, Tanner, give me your comedies real quick. Just go down the list.
Ernest Scared Stupid.
Yes.
Mrs. Doubtfire.
And by the way, when you guys give your answers, I will say yes or no on whether they're good or not. Yes. No. Nah, yes.
I'm about to say.
It's got Pierce Brosnan.
Tu Wong Fu.
Yeah. Wait, who?
Tu Wong Fu.
Tu Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything. Julie Newmar?
Yeah.
Yes.
I enjoy that movie. The Birdcage?
Yeah.
I'd be in the mood for it, but it's good.
This is a tough one. Surf Ninjas.
No.
No.
No. Hell no.
No.
Hell no.
That's a personal question.
Actually,
like that
one gets you a retroactive no on one of your others.
Which one?
It doesn't matter.
Yes. Have one.
Okay, let me replace it. Three Ninjas.
It's the same
you
movie.
Made it worse.
It's the same film.
Encino Man.
Okay.
That's fine enough. Okay.
Pauly Shore, classic. Cody.
All right, Office Space.
Yeah.
Oh man, that barely makes the cut, doesn't it? 99. It's
late.
Like
98 or
99. I started to say
99.
I really thought that was 2000, but okay.
Half Baked.
I guess.
I mean, primarily for the fuck you, you're cool, fuck you, bye scene. Guillermo Diaz is just good.
My favorite part of that movie is when they ask him, "You feeling it?" And then there's the comic book character behind him who gives a thumbs up and says, "He's feeling it." That was funny.
I was also thinking Snoop Dogg coming out of nowhere and stealing Dave Chappelle's joint.
Oh, or the Clarence Williams III. It's Mama, or it's Sheila. Mama fell. Shut up, bitch.
Oh, shit. Tommy Boy?
Doctor says it needs a bacchiotomy.
Yeah, I think Tommy Boy was Jesse. Jesse's
Holy
first
shit.
One, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Guys,
I would have to believe
what?
It makes
guys,
sense.
Guys, breaking news.
What?
Chadwick Boseman just died.
What?
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 No. That can't be true.
Being reported by Yahoo News, Yahoo Sports.
Oh, shit. He died of cancer. He fucking died of cancer.
No
colon
way.
Colon cancer. This. Oh, my God.
How?
That's why
this
looks so rough.
Hold on. I'll read the statement real quick. This is from his Twitter account. It is with immeasurable grief that we confirm the passing of Chadwick Boseman. Chadwick was diagnosed with stage 3 colon cancer in 2016 and battled with it these last 4 years as it progressed to stage 4. A true fighter, Chadwick persevered through it all and brought you many of the films that you have come to love so much. From Marshall to The Five Bloods, August Wilson's, Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, and several more, all were filmed during and between countless surgeries and chemotherapy. It was the honor of his career to play King T'Challa to life in Black Panther. He died in his home with his wife and family by his side. The family thanks you for your love and prayers and asks that you continue to respect their privacy during this difficult time. I don't really know how to follow up any of that.
Yeah, me neither.
I kind of butchered a little bit of the statement, but I think you guys get the gist of it.
Ah, well. Well.
Yeah, I don't even know what to do with that. We have 12 minutes left here, and I have no idea how to pick up from there.
Right. I was going to say the same thing.
Well, I can think of...
I think...
We just talk about some of the movies this man's done. On Jackie Robinson Day, this man played Jackie Robinson.
I was about to say, 42. It was the first film I saw him in was 42, and my God, an incredible acting job.
So, well, he was in the movie 42 and he died at 42?
No, 43.
Oh, okay. TMZ is reporting it wrong.
He died on what is Jackie Robinson Day.
Right, yeah, about to say, because today is Jackie Robinson Day.
All Major League Baseball teams wear number 42.
Oh, man. So, I guess, I think we should end the show. But before we do, I do want to say that he obviously was incredible in Black Panther.
Yeah.
One of my favorite things about him is that everybody that I know did not know that that was not his actual accent. They thought that's how he actually spoke.
Right. And he's a guy from the South.
Yeah. And I would show them videos of him like on SNL where he was speaking in his actual voice and they'd all look shocked because that's, I mean, I know it's just an accent thing, but like, that's how convincing he was he could trick everyone I know into thinking that's how he actually spoke. Oh man, he was in a movie I haven't got to see yet, and I've wanted to see so badly. I think you mentioned it earlier, Cody. What is it? The Bridge of
21 Bridges. Were you talking about 21 Bridges?
Yeah, I wanted to see that really, really bad, yeah. Because Chadwick Boseman, like, I felt like he was just on the precipice of becoming a megastar. Like, he was on his way to being like a lead actor, and I had no idea. Like, I'm dumbfounded.
One of those movies I mentioned, if you want to watch, I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, it's in my list. The Five Bloods is a Spike Lee movie on Netflix about four African-American veterans coming back from Vietnam.
That's a Spike Lee movie,
going back to Vietnam, excuse me. But.
And then that's a Spike Lee film, isn't it?
Yeah, it's Spike Lee joint.
Oh, well, guys, I'm sorry. Like, you have to understand, as much as I'm sure we would all like to continue going with this list and have fun, it doesn't feel right.
Yeah,
it,
no.
I don't know about you guys, but it just doesn't feel right.
No, there's no wind left in the sails to push forward. I've got no fault on that at all either.
So we're going to end it here, and we're going to end it here, and we'll start back again next week. Do yourself a favor and go watch some Chadwick Boseman movies. Incredible actor, and this is just very, very, very sad. So we're going to stop the show here, and we want to tell you guys we love you. We love all of you that listen to us. We really do. We appreciate that you let us come into your life every week. It means so much to all of us. So for myself, for Hunter, for Cody, and for Tanner, thank you guys for tuning in. We will see you next week.